As we wake up in the morning, that's when the voices start. But don't take long before they're gone, from your head right to your heart. We got fears about the future, regrets about the past, and stuff we're not sure where it's from, but it's coming on fast. We're all thinking stuff together, but we're feeling all alone. And we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away. It's what we're thinking about. 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 It's painting the scenes of our lives.
Well, good morning. I'm Ken Ludwig. Welcome to the show. That, of course, was my good friend Barry Ebert with It's What We're Thinking About. I love that song. I love everything he talks about in that song, and I have promised always that you will know when it's coming out on a CD, which should be next month, I believe, and I hope we'll make that available to you somehow, some way through the show. But the name of his song is It's What We're Thinking About, and this is what we're thinking about. This is your resource for learning to swim in the infinite ocean of pure potentiality. This is an island of affirmative intentionality in a sea of negativity. This is the place to free yourself from sentiments of blaming, of resentment, all those thoughts of lack and limitation. This is where you learn to lift yourself up from the depths of the conspiracy theorists, the naysayers, all of those who are anti-this and anti-that and anti-everything. And I know you know who I mean. These are the people who would totally disempower us all with their messages of how we're being taken advantage of, how we're being used, how the government, the cults, the Zionists, the globalists, and every other special interest group on the planet, you just name them, how they are all in charge. And you, well, you, my friend, are in control of nothing. You are powerless, of course. Here, this show, this is where we draw the line. This show is where we raise ourselves up and declare that we will no longer be the victims of the voices of negativity. Not even the ones in our own heads. The motto of this network, the Republic Broadcasting Network, is because you can handle the truth. On this show, we're going to talk about real truth, about universal truth, about the truth of spiritual principles. Gandhi had a theory. It's been referred to as truth power. The basic idea is that we are all capable of recognizing the great truths of life. Now, I'm here to prove that theory, because I totally believe that no matter what your religious beliefs, no matter what philosophy of life or spiritual path you follow, you can and you will recognize the great metaphysical truths of the universe. And that is what we will focus on this show. You are in control. You are the co-creator of your reality. You can decide and choose to no longer be the victim, and you can do it by virtue of what you're thinking about. That's the name of our show, and that, my friends, is the truth of your life. So, once again, welcome. It's a beautiful fall Saturday morning in Colorado, overcast, threatening to rain, maybe even snow, who knows? I love that. I hope it's a beautiful day where you are. We're going to cover lots of ground today. We have no guests. We'll have lots of different topics. We're going to cover what I consider to be the most important news story of the week. And, of course, we're not necessarily a news-oriented show, and we're not a political show, but I do have commentary about certain things that I think are important to us on a larger sense than just what they demonstrate on the surface. And we're going to talk about some of those today on the show. And, as always, the name of the show is What We're Thinking About, and I want to know what you're thinking about. So give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. We're going into our first break here. I'm Ken Ludwig. This is What We're Thinking About.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The 3-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available. Or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day. $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
She came from Providence, one in Rhode Island, where the old world shadows hang heavy in the air. She packed her hopes and dreams like a refugee, just as her father came across the sea.
Oh.
She heard about a place people were smiling. They spoke about the place to stand or a place to hide. Down in the crowded bars, out for a good time. Can't wait to tell you all what it's like up there. They call it paradise. I don't. Somebody laid the mountains low while the town got high.
All right. Welcome back to the show. That's the Eagles in The Last Resort. a great song for a couple of things that we're going to talk about today. Actually, it's I think it's important to recognize that we've got some major problems going on this planet. I don't even like it when I say the word problems. It's major challenges that we have on this planet right now, around the resources of the planet, around the ability of the planet to sustain us and itself. I think the biggest news story of the entire week was Al Gore winning the Nobel Peace Prize around his work on climate change, sharing it with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change from the United Nations. I just think it's the biggest news ever. Al Gore has so transcended anything he could have done as a politician by affecting many, many, many people with his message about global warming, global climate change, and the unsustainability of how we are living our lives right now. And there's some other I have an interesting counterpoint of view here on that that we'll talk about a ways down the road today. But the thing with Al Gore, to me, is if you've not seen his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, you are truly selling yourself short. You need to go see this movie. This movie is thought-provoking. This movie is just make you stop and think about what you do in your own life with your plastic bottles, with your trash, with how much electricity you burn, how many lights you leave on during the course of the day. It's just an interesting, thought-provoking movie. I thought it was incredibly well done. It's one of those movies that I haven't gotten a chance to go see it again, but I really want to go see it again. My beloved Lisa and I went to see it, and we were in awe of what Al Gore has put together. And obviously this is something he's been in tune with since he was a young senator. I mean, the guy has always known about this stuff. And in fact, one of his professors at, I believe at Harvard, was the guy who first paid attention to greenhouse gases and the effects that it was having on our climate, or at least on, I think in the initially it was about air pollution more than anything else. But anyway, I wanted to touch with a couple of articles that were written about Al this week. He said at a news conference that the global warming truly is a planetary emergency, that he would donate a portion, half of the prize. The Nobel Prize comes with $1.5 million attached to it. Al Gore gets half of that because he shared it with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. So that $750,000 goes to the Alliance for Climate Protection, which is a nonprofit group that he's the chairman of. And obviously what they're about is pointing out the dangers here of what we're doing. And Al says that it is the most dangerous challenge we have ever faced. I think there's a real point there. People who know a little bit about this, or maybe people who know a lot about this, will maybe be aware of the fact that many people have said for a very long time that we would not be experiencing any of the real effects of global warming for another couple of decades, maybe 30 years, 50 years, maybe even 100 years. And it would appear that right now we are experiencing climate change immediately. Where it's affecting us right now. I think we see that in all the monstrous storms that we're having. There's a huge change in that. I think it's if you look at the droughts that we're having all over the planet. By the way, I just want to stop here for a second. That you're going to hear me clear my throat a little bit. I've been fighting a flu bug all week long, so bear with me here as my throat gets a little scratchy here while we're talking. But I think we can see, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we are absolutely experiencing some of the effects of global climate change right here and right now. And there's no now doubt whatsoever that we are very, very much in a responsible position as far as the effects of global warming are concerned. Al Gore said that this whole thing about winning the prize is just the beginning. This honor was given to Gore and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for their efforts to build up and disseminate greater knowledge about man-made climate change and to lay the foundations for the measures that are needed to counteract such change. And that's what that was the statement of the Nobel Committee on Friday when they issued the award. Al Gore has for a long time been one of the world's leading environmental politicians, the committee said. He became aware at an early stage of the climatic challenges the world is facing. His strong commitment, reflected in political activity, lectures, films, and books, has strengthened the struggle against climate change. He's probably the single individual who has done most to create greater worldwide understanding of the measures that need to be adopted. It's not the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the other half of the winning team there, was created nearly 20 years ago by the World Meteorological Organization and the United Nations Environmental Program. It issues a report earlier this year saying it had determined with a high confidence that humans are contributing to global warming. Gore's fame as a long-serving public servant and more recently as the star of the Oscar-winning documentary An Inconvenient Truth has brought him international notoriety as an environmental activist. With his Nobel Prize win, political pundits will no doubt be speculating about another Gore run for the White House. Gore didn't mention politics at the news conference and shrugged off any political connection to global warming in a statement issued soon after his prize was announced. The climate crisis is not a political issue. It is a moral and spiritual challenge to all of humanity, his statement said. It is also our greatest opportunity to lift global consciousness to a higher level. Anytime anybody talks about lifting global consciousness, they got my attention. But the question may not be whether Gore will jump into the 2008 presidential race, but why he would want to. One political consultant, Chris Lahani, who was Gore's spokesman during the 2000 campaign, said, in many ways, Gore has virtually transcended the presidency itself. He's found a way to have an enormous impact every day on the issue of global warming, the very issue that got him involved in politics in the first place. In fact, getting back into politics might actually hamper Gore's work on climate change, Lahani said. If he decided to become a candidate suddenly, people would be looking at him through a different lens. Everything he said and did would take on a political dimension. Of course, you never say never in politics, but the truth of the matter is, I trust and believe in Al Gore, and I would be monumentally disappointed if he decided to run for president, because I think what he's doing is more important than anything he could accomplish as president of the United States. I find it very interesting that I felt myself yesterday kind of comparing him a little bit to Jimmy Carter, who won the Nobel Peace Prize back in the 90s for the Oslo Accords. And I think I just like the fact that these are two really two men of integrity who are pursuing what they believe to be right in the world. And I love the fact that they are being recognized on a global sense, because the recognition is what opens people's eyes to their message. And I don't think there's a more important message in our lives today than Al Gore's message about climate change. It is so, so very obvious that we are living in an unsustainable way on this planet. We are overpopulating it. We are raping it of its resources. We are burning too many of its resources in order to provide our creature comforts. And we're turning this place into our own little nightmare. And if we don't see it on our watch, certainly our children or our grandchildren will see it. And when you stop and think about your progeny, about your children and your grandchildren, don't you want them to live in at least as good a world as you live in? And there's an awful lot we can do to ensure that simply by the decisions we make around how we use the resources of the planet, the resources that are available to us. One of the things that my father used to say when he would come home at night, and I don't know why this just popped in my head. My father would come home at 7 o'clock at night from working in Manhattan. We lived on Long Island. He would walk in the house. I'm the oldest of 9 children, and he would step through the door and say, okay, let's have a light turning off contest, because the house would be lit up like a flipping Christmas tree for no apparent reason, because everybody was in the den watching what he referred to as the idiot box. But I have taken just a page out of that book in the last 6 months. I have been very conscious about shutting off the lights in every room I leave. Sounds like a small thing, but if you turn off the lights in rooms that you are not in, little things like that add up, and over time make a huge difference. It's all about how we treat the resources we have. If we are frugal with them, not stingy, not denying yourself anything, just be frugal with what you have. And we will, without any question, make life better for those who are going to follow us. I'm going to have a little bit more on Al Gore when we come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about some other sustainability issues. This is What We're Thinking About. I'm Ken Ludwig. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Show. That's an old classic there, John. That's Dire Straits and Industrial Disease. That's right up there with great subject managers, matters as far as what we're talking about this morning with Al Gore and winning the Nobel Peace Prize. Obviously, I'm very impressed with the fact that Al Gore won that prize. What am I trying to say here? I got completely dazed and confused there for a second. The name of the show is What We're Thinking About, and I'm interested in what you're thinking about. If you have some comments on Al Gore winning the Nobel Peace Prize, let's not get into a big political discussion. We don't want to get into we don't want to get too crazy. We want to talk about how this applies to improving our lives on the planet. Give me a call, 1-800-313-9443. I would love to hear from you and see what you have to say on this subject so that we can share our thoughts. So let's go back here to this. I downloaded this yesterday, and I think it's from the Boston Globe is where this came from. It says Gore's Nobel Prize marks severity of global warming. With the Peace Prize, climate change becomes more than just an environmental issue. If the Academy Award didn't get the world to heed Al Gore on the threat of global warming, maybe the Nobel Prize will. The decision of the Nobel Committee to award the 2007 Peace Prize jointly to Gore and the United Nations Intergovernmental Agency on Climate Change gives the former vice president his most exalted platform yet from which to speak the truth about how dangerously mankind is degrading the environment. In recent years, the Nobel Committee has expanded its vision of peacemakers beyond traditional heads of state to include citizen activists in various fields, such as the current Nobel laureate, Muhammad Yunus of Bangladesh, who promotes microlending, and the Kenyan Wangari Maathai, co-founder of the Green Belt Movement, which combats desertification. Gore's award is firmly in this vein, but no one should doubt that global warming can affect world peace. First, the dire effects of climate change are felt most severely in the poorest, least stable nations. Droughts, floods, desertification, and crop failures upend whole societies, creating refugee crises and resource wars. The horrors of Darfur, in many ways a struggle over water and arable land, are just one example. Haiti is another place where degradation of the land has contributed to violent strife. If the problems of climate change cause civil conflict, its solutions often promote democracy and peace. From the grassroots to the corridors of power, reversing global warming demands cross-border cooperation and more equitable distribution of scarce resources. Gore shares the prize with the UN panel, a group of 2,500 eminent scientists from 130 countries who for the past 20 years have defied skeptics and, in the committee's words, created an ever broader informed consensus about the connection between human activities and global warming. The world's 6 billion people must be made to accept global warming's hard truth and its even harder consequences, because serious behavioral changes will be required. Action is necessary now, the committee warns, before climate change moves beyond man's control. The Nobel Committee has seen the future of global conflict, and the environment is at the center of the effort to prevent war and promote peace. Gore today called solving the climate crisis a moral and spiritual challenge. It must now also be seen as a security imperative for the world. When I downloaded this yesterday, it did not tell me who wrote that article, but I'll tell you what, in my view, for such a brief article, it's only whatever it is, three paragraphs there. That's just pretty brilliant, that entire thing, because I think so many of the problems we incur on this planet as far as the challenges of conflict stem from our uses of the resources and who has the ability to use them, who doesn't. Who's being cut out from using the resources? The thing in Darfur is very much about arable land and water. And there is an argument. I read something the other day. Oh, wow, we're going to a break already. Okay. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk about this a little bit further because I think this is a very important topic. This is Ken Ludwig. This is What We're Thinking About. We'll talk to you again in 3 minutes.
Yo, You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Back to the show. A great old Gordon Lightfoot song there. I'm not sure how that ties into the show. That was one of John's musical surprises this morning. I'm thinking maybe it's a reference because he's got a hangover, but I'm not sure what that's about. But anyway, we're talking about Al Gore's winning of the Nobel Prize. We're talking about climate change, its impact on the planet, and its impact on societies and how it's changing the way we live. And I read an article the other day, yesterday, in fact, or maybe the day before. It was actually an article written by someone from this very Republic Broadcasting Network. It was my good friend Frosty Wooldridge. And those of you who are familiar with Frosty, you know that his show is about immigration and overpopulation. And he wrote this one sentence in this article that he wrote was, he was talking about immigration-driven overpopulation. Immigration-driven overpopulation. And as I started to think in terms of this whole global climate change, and you speak in terms of desertification, which is basically the conversion of forest land into desert simply by clear cutting it for resources, for firewood is the basic thing, but also for lumber to build homes and stuff, and that happens in the developing world all the time. When you start to think about the complete depletion of resources in an area, and you wind up, and we obviously have way too many people, or we're in the process of being sure we have way too many people on this planet, what you really wind up with then is way too many people for the available resources of a given area. So really then, rather than immigration-driven overpopulation, isn't what we really have more a population-driven over-immigration? Because if there's too many people in a given area for the resources that they have available to them, isn't that what causes them to want to immigrate to someplace else? So it's really a population-driven over-immigration as opposed to an immigration-driven overpopulation. Now, in some areas where the immigrants are going to go towards, and obviously we would be a prime target of that, America, the land of plenty, the land of milk and honey, we're going to have a population problem that goes along with the immigration. But I think if we look at the different things we might do to mitigate climate change, to try to make sure that all the people of the world have access to resources, and I believe it's an abundant universe. I do not believe that there is scarcity. I don't believe in lack and limitation, as my bump music, It's What We're Thinking About, says with Barry Ebert. Some folks thinking scarcity, not enough to go around. Other folks thinking we can all be fed, that solutions can be found. And I truly believe that it's about time we started to look at things in terms of the solution. There are all kinds of guys all over this planet who are working on different ways to increase the efficacy of the resources that we use, so that we have more to go around, so that we can do a better job of feeding people, so that we can do a better job of making use of our resources as opposed to abusing them. There's an article I read last week. A guy named Brian Walsh wrote it in Time magazine, and the title of it was Echo Rebels: Few Still Doubt Climate Change Is Real, But Now the Skeptics Are Questioning the Best Way to Deal with It. And I thought this was an interesting take on all of this, and I think to start with, we'll just maybe read a little bit of this, and then we'll take it from there. Maybe it happened the day after Hurricane Katrina, or the night Al Gore won an Oscar for An Inconvenient Truth, but the first phase of the global warming debate has ended. Even skeptic-in-chief George W. Bush recently convened a global warming summit where Condoleezza Rice told foreign diplomats that climate change is a real problem and human beings are contributing to it. Wow, welcome to the party, kids. But the climate wars are far from over, and there are still dissidents emerging to challenge the green mainstream. Unlike past skeptics, they accept the basics of global warming but question its severity and challenge the orthodox faith that Kyoto Protocol-style mandatory carbon cuts are the best way to save the planet. Call them the bad boys of environmentalism. Gadflies like the Danish economist Bjorn Lomborg, who just came out with a book, Cool It, and rebel greens like the political consultants Ted Nordhaus and Michael Schellenberger, who detail their apostasy in Breakthrough. While their solutions may be flawed, the questions these contrarians raise about climate change are central as we shift into the next and more difficult phase in the debate: what should be done about it? Lomborg is the right's favorite environmentalist, and it's easy to see why. Though he believes that the world is getting warmer and that humankind is causing it, Lomborg is not too worried. Endangered polar bears, he insists that they're actually thriving. rising sea levels swamping coastal cities. Lomborg argues that floods won't be biblical and that man-made defenses will be sufficient. The main effect of global warming, he writes, may be that we just notice people wearing slightly fewer layers of winter clothes on a winter's evening. The Danes' grasp of climate science seems a little bit shaky at best. The polar bear is far from okay. The U.S. Geological Survey reported last month that two-thirds of the population will disappear by 2050 because of shrinking sea ice. But his main argument is still worth considering. Lomborg believes that it would be far too costly to reduce global carbon emissions enough to actually cool the climate. That's an important piece there, because I think the science is incomplete. There's no two ways about the fact that we are warming the planet. But the big question, as far as the science is concerned, is what is the effect going to be, and how drastically is it going to affect us? And I think it's an interesting point that it would be far too costly to reduce global carbon emissions enough to actually cool the climate. Since warming is coming no matter what we do, and poor countries will suffer the most from it, we should instead direct scarce resources to helping those nations adopt climate change. That means improving healthcare systems and aiding economic growth so that the poor countries are better prepared for calamities ahead, climate-related or otherwise. Lomborg is correct to point out that if we're so worried about the future famines and diseases and refugees of a warmer world, we might want to first do a little more for the hundreds of millions suffering from those catastrophes right now. I think that's a huge point right there, and that's an interesting. It's an interesting kind of looking at it from around the corner, rather than spend all of our effort and resources on trying to correct global warming, which may in the long run prove fruitless, because it appears that it's a pretty daunting task. What we might want to do is take the limited resources we have available to us and try to ensure that the peoples of the world who will suffer the most from climate change, and again, that would always be the poorest countries, that they would have the resources to get by, or more than get by, to actually survive. If we're so worried, as he says, about the famines and diseases that a warmer world might bring about, we might want to take care of the hundreds of millions of people who are suffering right now from the very same catastrophes. It's a very interesting point, and I think it's worth a look. It's definitely just another opinion, and it's from a different standpoint than just being able to correct the global warming, being able to correct the greenhouse gas effect. I really do believe that that's a daunting task, and I think you're going to have a one heck of a time trying to get the Indias and the Chinas of the world involved in anything that is going to limit their possibility for industrial growth, for growth of their economies, for growth of their countries. And that's you got a lot of people involved there. You got, what is it, 2.5 billion people? More than a third of the population of the planet is China and India. It's going to be tough to get them to cooperate in any kind of carbon emissions shutdown or backing off. Another interesting piece of this sustainability idea, this whole can we continue to do things the way we're doing them on this planet and survive, is the people who are working in the food fields to just make better products, man, to make better plants, to make more nutritious plants, things that we don't eat that we can eat, to change the way we abuse our soils so that we treat our farms more like nature and let the plants do the work instead of us and depleting the soils. There's a couple of interesting things that I came across. There's a guy named Lee Chong Buan, who is a Japanese, and he is working with South Korean he is a South Korean farmer. He's working with he's working on an idea that came out of Japan, which the Japanese did the came up with the squarer shaped watermelons in the 1980s. Well, this guy Lee Chong Buan has been working for the last 10 years on creating a square-shaped apple that would be more stackable. Now, it's almost comical to me, because it doesn't seem to be more nutritious, doesn't seem to be anything about it that's even remotely better for us than the regular apple, other than it's square and it will stack nicer on the shelves and be easier to ship. The interesting aspect of that is that they are $7 a piece. I think I'll pass for now if you don't mind, but nice thought anyway. There's a guy named Wes Jackson who is he's a Midwesterner. He is a 71-year-old geneticist by trade. He is he's working on the idea that farming is absolutely ruining our land, and what he's trying to do is remake agriculture so that it mimics nature. At the Land Institute in Salina, Kansas, which is a farming research center he founded in 1976, he's pioneering efforts to develop crops that would combine the sustainability of inedible perennials with perennials. I'm sorry. He's trying to combine the sustainability of inedible perennials like wheatgrass, which use water efficiently and naturally conserve the soil, with the bountiful yield of cereal plants like barley. Boy, I'm having trouble here with my mouth, and you guys got to excuse me. I mentioned earlier I've been fighting this flu bug all week, and it seems to be affecting the connection between my eyeballs and my tongue. So what I'm looking at, I'm not necessarily getting out of my mouth the right way. We got another guy by the name of Song Pol Somsri, who is a Thai scientist, and this one cracked me up, man. He's working on a fruit called the durian. D-U-R-I-A-N. I never heard of this thing. It's a rich-tasting fruit. It is uncommonly sweet, but it has a stench to it. It's the scent, as they say here, has been likened to moldy cheese, dead cats, and or stale vomit. Hotels, airlines, and subways routinely ban the green spiky fruit from being allowed in them. But it's actually a fruit that the people who do eat it love it. I don't know how you eat something that you can't get near your nose. But anyway, he grew up on a durian farm in Thailand's Chantaburi district, which is just east of Bangkok. And he has been on a mission to popularize the fruit around the world. And his first step, of course, is to eliminate the odor. And that's what he's working on. And I think it's really an interesting part of science that without trying to change our fruit and our vegetables and all of our produce into something that is strictly about longer shelf life and shipability, and how it looks as opposed to the nutrition value of it and how it tastes, which if you've been through the produce aisle of your supermarket lately, that's what we get. Everything is just about how does it look and how long is it going to be able to stay on the shelf. When was the last time you bought an apple that you could actually eat without a knife? I mean, they're all like little bricks. And it's amazing to me that you buy fruit these days and for 3 days it's hard as a rock, and on the fourth day it goes soft and you have to throw it out. But it's nice to know that there are scientists out there who are working on making things more palatable that we're not eating, as opposed to just working on making things last longer. There's another guy here, Benny Gamliel, who is from Israel, and he's known as the Potato King. He's working on a very interesting aspect of potatoes. I don't know anybody who doesn't like potatoes. I in particular love potatoes. But what Benny's working on is getting some of the carbs, the calories, out of the potato, so that he's working on a less caloric potato. I find that a very interesting thing to be doing. And finally, we have a guy named Robert Ziegler, who is a Philippines-based plant pathologist. He is breeding a better grain of rice for a hotter and hungrier world. Obviously, that speaks to global warming and the population explosion. We are definitely going to have more people, and we are definitely going to need a way to feed them, and we need to have things that are going to grow in a fashion like we've not been growing in the past, I think, because we seem to be depleting, not only depleting the land we grow on, but the amount of that land seems to be dwindling as time goes by. So we're going to need more effective ways to grow things, more efficient ways to grow things, and they're definitely going to have to be growing in a warmer climate, because that seems to be where we're headed in every sense of the word. So that was a couple of things that I had plucked out here on this front. I have one more piece that I think we'll wait until after the top of the hour to go on and talk about. It's about ethanol And that's just, that's to me is almost comical. We do have a piece that I plucked out here. There's a company called, Covanta Holdings, which is figuring out a way to burn municipal refuse to create the steam that powers generators. As one of their spokesmen said, generating electricity from garbage doesn't have quite the aesthetic appeal of coaxing current from sunbeams, so to speak, or some of the other more, some of the other more attractive or exciting methods of creating energy. But if you are going to burn our garbage to create energy, you're certainly not going to run out of resources in this country. That's probably one of our great resources, is the amount of garbage that we create, which is, those numbers always boggle my mind. We create more garbage than I'm not sure if this is true or not. We may create more garbage in this country than the rest of the world does combined. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but if it's not true, I'll bet it's not far off. Anyway, going to take a break here. I'm Ken Ludwig. This is What We're Thinking About. I'm waiting for you guys to call in. I'll give you the number when we come back. We'll see you in three.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You can make the mountains ring or make the hay. amigo, he will surely pay his. When the one that left us here returns for us at least, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the gray.
Welcome back to the show. I'm tempted to let that one play all the way through. That is Jesse Colin Young and the Youngbloods with one of my favorite songs of all times. I mean, if I were to list all my favorite songs in history, Get Together would be probably in my top 100 without any question whatsoever. I love stuff that Jesse Colin Young did. He wrote great, great music. And he's still out there doing stuff, I think. Anyway, wanted to do a quick commercial here for this Republic Broadcasting Network. I don't know if you people realize that we have an online store, but if you go to republicbroadcasting.org and check out our online store, it's a great resource for all kinds of posters, books, and DVDs to back up your thoughts about your favorite hosts on this network and the things that you listen to and the things that you love to hear about on this network. So it's a great resource to go there, and you will also find, I believe these are on sale. I hope they're still on sale. Otherwise, I've just not been informed. But there are the Berkey water filtration and air purifiers that are on sale on our website, on the online store there. And they are simply the premier water filtration and air purifiers on the planet. All of you campers, backpackers, hunters, survivalists, you all need to have those in your inventory of supplies. The other thing I wanted to talk about was those of you who are in my age bracket in that late 50s, pushing 60s thing, thinking about retirement somewhere in the not-too-distant future, and you're worried about the ravages of inflation on your investment dollars, on your IRA or your 401k or whatever your investment vehicles, your retirement vehicles are. A great hedge that people have used forever against that inflation has been the purchase of hard assets, which of course are gold and silver. If you want to get some information on that, visit Republic Trading Group at 1-800-691-7898. If you support Republic Trading, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back at the top of the hour. This is what we're thinking about.
And we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away.
With recent